Genesis chapter 26, verse number 1 says, "And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, into Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, and my statutes, and my law." Verse number 12 says, "And Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, and possessions of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the name to which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essex, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And removed from thence and digged another well. And for all that they strove not, for he called the name of it, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence into Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Lord, you sure have been good to us. You bless us abundantly. Thank you and praise you for that. Lord, these next few moments, I need words. I need wisdom. I need you to teach my heart, dear Lord, today. Use us today, dear Lord. The people today, dear Lord. I pray you'll speak to each and every heart that's here today, dear Lord. I know we have some out sick today, but Lord, speak to our hearts that you can receive the glory from. And in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. I'd like to take just a little bit this morning. We're going to try to get back to about digging us a well. But I'd like for us to think first off here in verse number 1 as I began reading the other day. There's a famine in the land. Now, I believe that we're living, not physically, because I do thank the Lord for the rain we got the last few days. And I hope we get a little more of it. My grass is starting to turn green again, and in May it should be turning green for the first time, but it done turned green, and then it's starting to turn brown, and now we're turning back to green, and I'm thankful for the rain. But I believe in our nation today, I believe we're living in a time of famine. Now, it's not a famine of crops or anything yet, but it's a famine of hearing the Word of God. We're living in a nation today that most people in our country don't want to hear anything about God. I read a few weeks ago that 80% of the people in America do not go to church. 80%. Well, that tells me that me and you got a lot of work ahead of us, don't we? If 80% of our county doesn't go to work, we need to reach them. We need to tell them the truth, and we need to let God just work in us as only he can, that people can get saved. Well, preacher, they don't care. They don't want to hear. I didn't either until somebody told me. They don't either until somebody tells them. That's not my message, my thought really this morning. But we need to be telling people how much Jesus loves them and what he did for them. And it says here in these first couple, three verses that there's a famine in the land. Not the first famine, but this famine. There was a famine in the days of Abraham, And now there's a famine in his son Isaac. In his son Isaac's days. So we see here today that there's nothing new under the sun. The things that we're living through today has already happened and will happen again. Maybe not identical word for word, action for action, but it will happen again. We're going to see some things happen. Now, we know that how Abraham was. Abraham, when the famine hit, when the tough time hit, Abraham ran out of the presence of God, and Abraham kind of forsook God, and he went to Egypt, or he went to the world out there, and then he got in trouble, didn't he? Hey, this morning, you have problems, you have burdens, you have cares, you have concerns. The best place to stay when all this happens to you and I this morning is let's stay with God. Let's let God get a hold of us. Well, preacher, I don't like what's going on here. I don't either. I'm not talking about the church, I'm talking about the nation. I don't like what's going on in my nation. Sidetrack a little bit. So why don't I get a hold of God and ask God to change it? Mr. Spurgeon said, prayer touches the heart that touches the hand that moves the world. Prayer touches the heart that touches the hand that moves the world. So if I don't like what's going on, why am I not asking God? That's not my thought this morning. That's extra. But why am I not letting God work through me to make a difference? I appreciate Brother Ben and the message he had Wednesday evening. Tremendous, tremendous message. And let's get back to God and let God work. I got to get off that thought. I got to get back to Genesis chapter number 26. Isaac went down to the Philistines to Gerar. And they looked around and they saw Isaac. And they knew that they knew who Isaac was. They knew that he was the son of Abraham, and they knew that Isaac was being blessed. They knew that everything is going to be different with Isaac if as long as he walks with God. And in that day, if you and I will walk with God, we'll see greater and greater things happen. Now we see here in verse number 12, it says, right after verse number 12, and I'll get back to verse number 12 in just a minute. But there was the wells in the land, a well. We don't think anything much about a well anymore, do we? We go to the spigot, wherever it's at, we turn the spigot, we get us a glass, we get water, turn the spigot off. We go to a water fountain, we push the button, we get a drink of cooler water, and we don't think anything about it. But there's still some areas today, even around the world and probably even in our own state today, where it's not quite that simple anymore. Now, this is one of the things, I've read this story several times in the last few days. One of the things I don't understand. We all know how important water is, don't we? We got to have water to exist. We got to have fresh drinking water to be able to make it. Now, I enjoy drinking coffee. They tell me I drink too much of that. I don't think they know what they're talking about, so I'm going to keep drinking coffee. But if you're out doing something, wherever you're working at, now and I enjoy a soft drink occasionally, but if all you ever drink is a soft drink, after a while it's just kind of like, it's just sticky. And sometimes if I could just get a glass of water, it refreshes, it helps, it makes so much difference in our life. So we got to have water. Now this is the part I don't understand. In the days of Abraham, Abraham had his servants dig wells. I'm going to step ahead of myself, I'm going to come back to this part. So the Philistines need water, their flocks need water, their crops need water, they got to have water, so what do they do at the well? They fill it in. Does that make any sense? This is a source that I have that I need. I have to have the water in order to be able to survive, so I'm going to throw dirt in it so there ain't no more water. Does that make any sense? But isn't that what the average person is doing today in America? Because the average person today in America, they look at the Word of God and they don't want to have anything to do with the Word of God. So we're tossing the Word of God aside. And this is nothing new. This has happened years ago. But we've tossed the Word of God aside. We're trying to toss Bible preaching, Bible teaching churches aside. We don't want to have anything to do with God anymore. We seem to think in our nation, if I take my Bible and I hide it over here somewhere, then it doesn't matter what it says because I'm not responsible for it anymore because I don't have one in my presence. But we're still accountable. The world is still accountable to everything which God has written down in His Word. So if I'm going to be accountable for what's written down in His Word, I need to have a copy. I need to be reading it. I need to be studying it. It's kind of like speed limit signs, what started out earlier. If you see a speed limit sign, I don't always, but it's important to read them. It's important to heed them. And my wife heard me say that. She knows I don't believe that some days. But it's important to heed them. If not, you're sitting on the shoulder of the road, ain't you? Now, maybe not every time, but He'll get you. He'll get you. And it's rightful that I get speeding tickets. That didn't even sound good for me, did it? It's rightful that I get speeding tickets. Because when I break the law, I have to pay the price. If I break God's law this morning, then I have to pay the price. Brother James told us in Sunday school this morning, ignorance is not an excuse. We're still accountable to the Word of God and what God says in his book. So it's important this morning to allow God to work in our heart, to work in our life. We took our well and we filled it full of trash. Looking at what's going on, we're thinking, I don't care. Now, I don't understand folk who do things like that, I'll be honest. I know people that they'll buy something brand new and tear it up, and then go buy something else brand new and tear it up, and buy something brand new and tear it up, and buy something brand new again and tear it up. And they keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. But here the Philistines were. They filled the wells full of dirt, full of earth, full of dirt. And as they were, my mind, I still can't begin to, we showed them, didn't we? We don't have anything to drink. Our flocks don't have anything to drink. We have no water for our crops. We showed them, didn't we? But that's the mentality we're living in today, where we don't realize that actions have consequences. In whatever area they are, acts have consequences. Now, this morning, I like to draw our attention to a story. I like to tell you a story. May I tell you a story and explain my story? I'm from a different part of the country. I know some of you said, like, really? Like, we couldn't tell that? People around here don't act like you act. But I'm from the other side of the Mississippi River. Now, where I come from, we don't have any red dirt. We have gray or brown or black dirt. We don't have red dirt. But in the area that I was born and raised in, when I was a child, a lot of the people had what was called a cistern. You ever seen a cistern, a hand-dug well? A couple of us that old. Now, the place that I was born and raised at, in my early years, we had a cistern. Now, I have some friends that where they go to church at, they have brethren and they have cisterns. But a cistern is a hand-dug well. Now, they're normally not real deep. They say that some of them in some parts of the world can get up to 500 feet deep. And I'm thinking, you're 500 feet down in a hole digging a well, that's tough. Now, I can remember the one at the house that we lived in. It was, I don't know for sure, it looked really deep to me because I was really small. And as we lived there, the day I'm trying to get to is I can remember the day that once a year you had to clean the well out. Now, it's usually August because a cistern a lot of times will go dry in the summertime. As it would go dry, or get the water would get real low in it, the men of the community would all gather together, and they rotated amongst people who had one of these. And if you had one, you'd go to whosever house it was, and every few years, you'd go to some. Every year, you cleaned one out, but different ones along. And they would pull the water out of it the best they could, and then they would lower a man down in there. I'm not sure how they lowered him in there. But then he would take a shovel and a bucket, and they'd tie that rope onto it, and they'd drop it down in that well. This one day was at my house, our house, doing that. I remember the men, I don't know how old I was small. I remember the men gathering at the house, and they all standing around waiting to get started. And I'm sure, you know, let's just be honest, I'm sure they're lying to each other. That's the way people do. Well, I did this and I did that. That's just the way people do. But as they were standing around waiting and getting ready for starting time, whatever's going on, my grandfather showed up. He had an old team of mules and a rubber-tired wagon. And here Grandpa comes down the road. He pulls in the yard, and in his wagon, he had a dead cedar tree. And I remember them men, the younger men, which was my father's age, and then around that, they said, "What's wrong with that old man? He does this every year. What's wrong with him?" Now, I wasn't born and raised in this area. I live in an area that has a lot of sandstone. Now, Ginger can tell you, if you go back home, for me to go back home, and you drink water, the water's different. The water back in southeast Missouri is soft water. You can actually physically feel a difference in it because of the sandstone that is there. Now, and some of the research I have done on it down through the years, sandstone is associated with pockets of oil and natural gas. If you have natural gas underground, you're probably going to have some sandstone around. If you have an oil field underground, you're possibly going to have some sandstone around. But Grandpa shows up, and he gets out. They said something to him. I don't remember. He didn't pay him. No, never mind. He just gets out and goes about his thing. And he lights that cedar tree on fire. He drags it over to the top of that well, and he takes that cedar tree. It's probably about that tall. He picks that cedar tree up. We're talking about an old man, 70 years old or so. He picks that. That ain't as old as it used to be, is it? He picked that thing up and got it over the well, and he dropped it in that well. And it was like a torch. Woof! And just burn. I mean, to me, the flame looked like they would have been burning from the floor to the ceiling. It just shot just like, wow, look at that. And he turned and looked at them men and he said, "Boys, that's what I tell you every year." He said, "Today, every one of you would have died if I hadn't showed up." He said, "Because the first one of you would have went down in that well that had that gas in it. And you can't breathe when that gas settles in your lungs. And you'd have died. And the next one would have went down there to help you, and you'd have died." He said, "And every one of you here would have wound up dying before the end of the day. Because you didn't clean the well first." My thought is this. A well or anything, and it doesn't make any sense to me, but I know it's true. A water line gets dirty on the inside, doesn't it? I mean, why in the world do you ever have to clean your shower anyhow? Shower is one of the dirtiest, nasty places around, ain't it? Because it'll grow all kinds of stuff in there. Mine does. But you would think all that water in there, surely it wouldn't get dirty. The same thing is with a cistern, with a well. Sediment will build up in that well. That's the reason I have to clean them out every so often. And back in those days, that was 65-ish years ago, they'd lower your man in there, as I said earlier, that he'd have a bucket on a rope, and he'd have a shovel, and he would clean out the bottom of the well to make it usable. Sometimes I may dig it a little bit deeper if it would go deeper. But you have to keep a well cleaned out, because if you didn't, then it would become non-usable. It'd become non-productive. We couldn't have that. The fresh water we could get out of there, we couldn't have it anymore if we didn't keep it cleaned out. Thinking this morning, what about my heart? Do I keep my heart cleaned out this morning? Now, if you could find one of them cisterns today that hasn't had anything done with it for a while, and you was able to drop off in there, and you was able to maybe I don't know how to say that you got down there, but you step out in that, how deep in the mud will you sink? I've walked out in farm ponds before, and the mud is up deeper than your waist because it wasn't cleaned out. But my thought is, it's not about a well, it's not about a farm pond, it's about my heart. How much buildup, how much gunk is in my heart that's not pleasing to God, that won't allow God to have free flow through my life? God can't do for me what he wants to because I have too much stuff hidden in my heart and in my life that I'm not willing to let God take care of. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Well, you know, preacher, it's not that bad. I mean, yeah, I'm not perfect. Nobody is except our Lord. But this morning, that's the reason when things come into my heart, things come into my life, things come into my actions today, hey, then I need to go to God and let God clean me up again. Remember when you was a kid? You outside playing? You'd always get dirty, wouldn't you? Always would be dirty. And you go in, what's mama want to do? Get in the bathtub. Scrub you down. Clean you up. Hey, that's what God wants to do for us this morning. God wants to clean us up today. God wants to make us more usable today. I'm being used to God today, and I'm sure we are. But God wants to make you more usable today than what you are right now. And I have to allow him to clean my heart and get to the point and the place today that God can get the glory out of my life. See God work and see God help us as only he can do this morning. See God make a difference. We wouldn't eat spoiled food, would we, on purpose? We wouldn't do things on purpose that would hurt us, but yet sometimes we hold on to that sin so long that it hurts us. Thought crossed my mind. I read a story years ago, back when we used to have circuses and all them kind of things. There was a circus that had a sideshow, and the sideshow was a guy who had him a python. And the show was he would let that python curl itself around him and then squeeze him. I think he'd have been squeezed in the head too much too soon, anyhow. I used to say the only good snake's a dead one. I don't even think dead ones are good anymore. I don't like snakes. I don't like live ones, dead ones, little ones, big ones, green ones, purple, blue. I don't like snakes at all. Spiders, they don't matter. They ain't no big deal. A snake? I hurt somebody over a snake. Oh, yeah. But this guy would allow this python to curl it. Now, if you have a snake, that's up to you. I don't want him. Now, they do tell me, though, rattlesnake tastes really good, they say. I have been told it tastes just like chicken. My question is, why not just eat the chicken? Anyhow, this guy would allow this snake to coil itself around him and begin to squeeze him. And then he would snap his fingers or pop his hands or whatever it was. I don't remember that part of it. But he would do that and the snake would release. Well, as he would do that time after time after time after time, the guy got to the point he just let the snake just squeeze him a little bit tighter. And then he'd give a signal, the snake would release him. Next time he'd squeeze a little bit tighter. Give the signal, the snake would release him. He's doing a show one night. And the snake was squeezed. He said, I want to make it really look good tonight. I'm going to let him squeeze me until I have no air left in my lungs. And he did. And when he gave the signal for the snake to release, the snake did not release. And he died standing there on the stage. We play with sin. Oh, we got this. All we got to do is walk away and ain't nothing going to happen. All we got to do is walk away and nothing's going to happen. All we got to do is walk away and nothing's going to happen. But one of these days, it isn't going to be that way. One of these days, it ain't going to let us go like we want it to. Grandma used to always say, if you play a fire, you will get burned. And you will. But clean out my well. What's in my heart today that my Lord's not pleased with? What's in my life today that God's not pleased with? Now, I know people that do this, and I know people that try. But you know, most of the sin that's in our life, we cannot get rid of it by ourselves. We have to have somebody help me to get past this. Just like the men back home when they would clean out them wells, one person couldn't do it, they'd have to get everybody together to help. Now, there's a lot of things in your life that you can do by yourself and you can get over it, maybe. Most things you will not. Besides, what better medicine, and to use that wrong word to put in there, but what medicine, better medicine can you use than having people that love you and love the Lord praying for you? And letting God get a whole work through me to help somebody else. God wants to help us. God wants to help you. Hey, every person in here this morning, we have something today that we're struggling with. I don't know what it is that we'd be struggling with, but I know today that we all have something that we're struggling with. Would we bring it this morning to God and let God help us overcome whatever this situation is? Let God make a difference in us this morning. Well, I kind of like doing this. Yeah, remember the guy with the snake? It got the best of him. It got the best of him. But Isaac went back, and the Bible says that he digged again the wells that his father's servants had dug. I believe it's important tonight, this morning, for you and I to go back, as Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16 says, to go back to the old path, the old way. We need to see the power of God move. We need to see the power of God fall. We want to see God make a difference today as only He can. Now, I know several folk that believe that this morning. The thing that concerns me about that is we spend so much time concentrating about the old days, we're not making any difference today. If 80% of Iredell County does not even go to church, and probably our county has more than that, but if we have a majority of people in this county, in this state, that does not go to church, we need to be reaching them today. Well, I can remember in 1812, and God did a great work, and that's fantastic for 1812. But what's God going to do in 2024? What's God going to do today? The Bible says in verse number 25, and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. In our hearts and in our lives today and everything that's going on with us and around us today, hey, first off, building an altar is a representation of coming back to God. We need to come back to God and let God get a hold of us and let God make a difference in us and let God direct us. And then we can do something for God. To see God, you get the honor and the glory from all that goes on. But all, what about this morning? Will we let God do for us today what He wants to? This thought keeps coming through. You may be struggling with something this morning. I don't know. Would you let God help you today in the situation you're in? I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Let God. Let God. Let God help you as you struggle through these times. Let God make a difference for you as you come through these days. Oh my, this morning, we just want to see God do something. Yeah, I'd like to see God do something in the world. I want to see God do something inside the United States. I want to see God do something inside North Carolina. I want to see God do something in Iredell County. But you know what I want to see most of? I want to see God do something in my heart. Do something in my heart. Make a difference in my heart. Make a difference in my life. Let God do something for me that He can get the glory. Let God guide and help us today as only He can. This morning, would you let God do for you what God wants to? Would you let God do for you? Would you let God help you today with the situation that you have? Would you let Him? You may be sitting here this morning, maybe you're not, I don't know. May not even be saved, I don't know. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sin, you've never repented of your sin and said, Lord, save me, you don't know what you're missing. Man, it's so good. In this life, it's so good, not to mention in eternity. But you may be sitting here today, you may be saved and you're kind of skirting walking with God. Don't want to get too serious about serving God. Don't want to get too involved with serving God. Life is no better anywhere in this world than being in the center of God's will for your life. Seeing God make a difference. This morning, I believe God's spoken to hearts. Would you let God this morning make a difference for you? Whatever it is God has spoken to you about this morning, would you be obedient to the Holy Spirit and do what God asks you to do? Would you let God work today?